Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral on this, the evening of the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Thank you.
light and peace in Christ Jesus our hope. Thanks be to God. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Holy, immortal One, have mercy upon us. God of eternal wisdom, you alone imparted the gift of discernment. Grant us understanding hearts, so that we may choose wisely between the treasures of your promised reign and this world's counterfeits. Through Jesus Christ, the pearl of true value. Amen.
Exalted is your name in all the world. Glory to God. source of all being, eternal Word and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever.
Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads off grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. On July the 12th, 2003, Martha and I traveled to the Dutch island of Saint Martin. It was our honeymoon. While we were there, we each purchased a ring to remember the vacation and to be an heirloom, a memento of the bonding and the love we had celebrated, a seal of a new chapter in life. The ring that caught my eye is the ring I wear to this day. It has a square blue opal set in the middle of what appears to be a simple cross. Over the years, the ring has taken on new significance. It was there when my father died. I was wearing it when Cecilia was born. It was on me the night when Gordon was unexpectedly birthed on the floor of our bathroom. That ring was there through the five moves, the painful relocations that Martha and I have made in the past 17 years. I was wearing the ring the night Mom died. Over the years, I've rubbed my fingers like a rosary over the ring, over the cross, in silent prayer. And it always brings me back to a place of innocence, back to the center, back to God, back to simpler times. White sand and turquoise water, trade winds blowing off the sea, the delightful memory of the day Martha and I walked into Phillipsburg on our honeymoon and bought our rings. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In today's gospel reading, Jesus admonishes the religious leaders when he makes some bold remarks about his identity and the Sabbath day. The context of the gospel is thus. The reading is taken from the second chapter of St. Mark's gospel, and Jesus is a man on a mission. He wastes no time. He hardly even stops for lunch. Preaching, teaching, healing, casting out demons, calling his disciples. Just another week in the kingdom of God. That was chapter 1, week 1. And now we are in chapter 2, and it's the Sabbath day, the Jewish day of rest. And we find Jesus and his new disciples walking through the fields, plucking grain. They are hungry, and they are tending to their hunger. But this simple act incites terse rebuke from the religious leaders and those who interpret it as a contradiction of the laws for observing Sabbath rest. Jesus admonishes the religious leaders, and he goes one step further than chastisement. For Jesus commits what they will most certainly interpret as blatant blasphemy, a crime punishable by death. Jesus claims lordship, authority over the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. How on earth can Jesus make this claim, to be Lord even of the Sabbath? That authority belongs to one person and to one person alone. So let's look backward and then forward. Looking back, Genesis 2 and the institution of the Sabbath rest, and there we read, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the Sabbath day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation." It is obvious from reading the story of the creation that God intends the seventh day to be more than simply a respite. It is a hallowed day. And while being a day of rest, it is essentially a day of delight, of joy, of festivity. No wonder the church proclaims this creation narrative every Holy Saturday as she sits in darkness waiting for her share in the joy of the resurrection. And this is the vantage point from where we now look forward and recapitulate from Genesis through the Gospels and on to the fourth chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, where we find St. Paul in a post-resurrection exhortation inviting his listeners to strive to enter into that rest, not to harden their hearts, but to live lives with boldness that, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. In the end, we find the beginning of all things, because at the beginning of all things, we find their ending. I am the Alpha and the Omega. It's called teleology. Every created thing is created for a purpose, for a goal. In Greek, telos, the goal of human life, is beatitude. They are blessed. They are happy. Their delight is in the Lord. It is important to remember that any sense of happiness we happen to experience in this life is but a foretaste of a blessed, transcendent joy, delight that is yet to be revealed. But we have been invited, through our birth into God's creation to journey beyond that horizon, to stretch outward to the blessed rest of everlasting peace. When Jesus declares in the gospel that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath, he speaks with authority. Jesus' claim to lordship, his claim to authority over the Sabbath, is true if, and only if, he is the Son of God. The one who, in the words of St. John's Gospel, was in the beginning with God, and that all things were made through him, that he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. Nevertheless, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. We are pilgrims, sojourners in the land which is the Lord's. We till the soil and walk the earth, for weal and for woe, for better and for worse. But it is the soil and it is the labor in which God takes delight. And like the disciples in today's gospel, whose hunger reminds them that they have not reached the promised land, that they have not yet attained beatitude, we too need to constantly cultivate lives that are more humble and more receptive to receiving the gift of Sabbath rest. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Have mercy on those who fear you.
scandalous God. You sow weeds among the crop, raise bread with impure yeast, offer treasure without price, and cast a net that catches good and bad. Throw down our idols of purity and possession, so that you might reveal in us your wide-branching love through Jesus Christ, the stumbling block. Amen.
We shall arise at the sound of our name.
Bless the Lord. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia.